compound nouns versus descriptive phrases, taught by Sherry Summers. This lesson was recorded specifically for students of the American Accent course. Any reproduction of this audio in any form is strictly prohibited without the permission of AccentOnSpeaking.com.
Hi, and welcome back to class. So far, we've been talking a lot about intonation patterns in single words, the ups and the downs, how they go up to a primary stress, how they dip down to a weak stress. And in this lesson, we're going to start talking about patterns of words connected together, particularly descriptive phrases and compound nouns. If you remember way back to our second lesson, where I gave you an overview of the American accent, you'll remember that there are certain words that get a lot of stress and certain words that don't get stress at all. Do you remember what those were? We called one group the content words and the other structure words. It's the content words that get stress. It's the content words that always have at least one primary stress. It may have some secondary stress in it. It may have weak stresses. But overall, every content word gets at least one primary stress. Those structure words, they don't get stress at all often. So what are those content words? Well, they're nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. We use content words to give new information or sometimes to emphasize something that we want to point out. Every content word gets some stress, but some get more than others. And usually, in order of importance, nouns get the most stress. That's because usually they're the new information, the most important thing, the thing that we're looking for. What do we do once we've mentioned a noun in a sentence? For example, I say, Bob likes to fish. He also likes to cook. Notice in the second sentence, I didn't say Bob again. That's because we don't repeat the same words again and again. I changed it to he, which is a pronoun, because this is no longer new information. New information usually comes in the form of nouns. Words that get the second most amount of stress are generally verbs. Why? Because verbs show the action. Verbs tell us what's happening. We want to know what's happening. We want to know, first of all, who it is, what it is, where it is, the noun, and second of all, what the action was. So verbs usually get the second most amount of stress, followed by adjectives. Adjectives describe the noun. We want to know what the noun was like. Was it big? Was it small? Was it beautiful? And finally, adverbs. Adverbs describe either verbs or adjectives. We want to know how something was done. So remember, in the nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs, we're going to hear at least one primary stress. But sometimes the primary stress is a little bit higher in one word than it is in another word. For example, listen to this. A good movie. Where do you hear the most stress? You should hear the stress in moo. Movie. Think about the word movie. What part of speech is it? It's a noun. We're describing this noun with the adjective good. Good movie. The primary stress is in move. E is a weak stress. Movie. But good is also a primary stress. But it's a little bit lower, a little bit softer, not as strong as movie. Movie. A good movie. We stress the noun more than we stress the adjective because the adjective is less important than the noun. Listen to these other ones and follow me, please. A tall man. A blue vase. Blue still has stress. Vase has more stress because we're describing the noun, the vase. A blue vase. The long road. The big red boat. We've got two adjectives here, but boat is still the most important word. The big red boat. Now let me point out, if I want to emphasize an adjective, I can do that. I could say the big red boat. And what I mean is, not the small red boat, the big one. But if I'm simply giving information, wow, that's a big red boat. I stress the noun. The two adjectives are just a little bit weaker. Let's try some other descriptive phrases. the pretty candles. The pretty candles. Notice pretty, pretty, pretty. The first syllable has the primary stress. Pretty. And notice that T in pretty is softened to a D. Pretty. But pretty is not as strong as candles. Candles. The pretty candles. Can in candles is the highest stress. The pretty candles. Slow computer. Slow computer. Pew in computer has the highest stress. Computer. But slow has some stress too because it's describing computer. Slow computer. What a slow computer. Vanilla cookies. Vanilla cookies. Cookies goes up. Vanilla cookies. Bitter memory. Bitter memory. Notice in this, the T in bitter is softened to a D, and the word memory is missing the O because of that R rule where the syllable disappears. Tight shoes. Tight shoes. Expensive car. Expensive car. That's an expensive car. Car still has more stress than expensive, although I could stress expensive to point out that it's really very expensive. That's an expensive car, not a cheap one. We'll talk a lot more about this later. Right now, we're focusing on the new information, and that is the noun. It's an expensive car. Long day. What a long day. Purple sweater. Purple sweater. She's wearing a purple sweater. Now, if we put an adverb in there to describe the adjective, we do it like this. Brightly colored shells. Brightly colored shells. Notice how brightly is just a little more stressed than colored. Brightly colored shells. Those are brightly colored shells. Beautifully successful accomplishment. Beautifully successful accomplishment. Accomplishment still has the most stress. The noun, accomplishment. So it's important to realize that when we're describing a noun, we emphasize the noun. The only time that we wouldn't emphasize the noun when we're describing something is to emphasize an adjective or maybe an adverb, to really point it out, to show a contrast between that and something else. For example, if I said, he's a tall man, I'm emphasizing he's tall, which contrasts with short. No, no, he's not short as you thought. He's tall. So that's a special case. Most of the time, we want to emphasize the new information, and we're going to emphasize the noun. That doesn't mean that the adjective and adverb won't have some stress, because it will. They're all content words. They all have some stress. They don't weaken and dip into those valleys. They're still strong, but they're not as strong as the noun. So what if I told you that I lived in the White House? The White House. What would you think? Ah, Sherry, that's not true. You're not the president. The White House, as you know, is a place in Washington, D.C., where the American president lives. The White House. So white looks like an adjective. House is a noun. What just happened there? The White House. What did I stress? I no longer stressed house. I stressed white. Is that because I'm emphasizing the color is white? Not in this case. This is something called a compound noun. Or in this case, it's an adjective plus a noun. But they work together to have one meaning. So what's the difference between when I say, I live in the White House, and I live in the White House, the White House. What's the difference? The first one, the White House. What did I stress? I stress house, house. I'm describing a house. The color is white. The white house. I live in the white house on the corner. I live in the white house. The white house. There I just stressed the word white. And I didn't do it to point out the color. I did it because this is a compound noun. The compound noun means an adjective plus a noun or two nouns together that make one meaning. People don't usually think of the color of the White House when they think about that building. They think first, oh, it's where the president lives, the White House. So I've shifted the stress to the first part of the word or the first part of the combination, and I made a new noun. We do that with a lot of other words too. For example, have you heard of a green thumb? A green thumb. A green thumb. A green thumb is somebody who grows plants and vegetables, gardens, easily. If I say, you have a real green thumb, I mean you're good at gardening. But what if I say, you have a green thumb? Well, that literally means the color of your thumb is green. Maybe you put it in some paint. Also take the word high chair. High chair. A high chair is where a baby sits to eat food. We call this a high chair because it's tall, it's a chair, it's for babies. When we think about this word, we don't really think about it being tall. We just think about the special chair for babies, a high chair. We've taken the word high, which was originally an adjective, put it with chair, and made a completely new meaning, a new idea. A high chair. This is the baby's high chair. But what if I say a high chair? A high chair. What am I talking about? I'm saying that this chair is high. It's tall. It's difficult to get up on because it's tall. It's not for a baby. It's just a chair that happens to be high. I'm describing the chair, and that's all. Think about the word hot sauce. Hot sauce. I stress the word hot, and it's an adjective. Normally, in a descriptive phrase, we wouldn't stress an adjective, but we're not using it as an adjective anymore. We're combining it with the word sauce. Hot sauce. Hot sauce would be a special sauce that's very hot. For example, maybe a Tabasco sauce. We don't necessarily think of it as a sauce that happens to be hot. It just is hot. We know what it is. It has one meaning. It's hot sauce. But what if I taste some sauce and the temperature's hot? I could say, wow, this is hot sauce. It's really hot. It burned my tongue. It's hot sauce. I stress sauce. We can also use the combination black bear to mean a specific kind of bear. Yes, it's black, but it's a specific kind of bear. If you know a lot about animals, you'll know this specific kind of bear. But if I say it's a black bear, it's a bear. I don't really know what kind it is, but the color is black. So the specific kind of bear is a black bear. A bear that happens to be black is a black bear. We have a lot of words that do this. When they shift the stress, they take on a different meaning. You can kind of start to understand native English speakers' thinking by the words that they stress. Do they think of the word as just one thing, or are they just describing the word? Take, for example, chocolate cake. Chocolate cake. What did I stress? Chocolate cake. Chocolate is strong, but cake is stronger. We don't necessarily think of chocolate cake as just one idea. It's cake and it's chocolate. But listen, a wedding cake. A wedding cake. What did I stress here? I stressed the first word, wedding. This means that in our minds, it has one idea. This is a specific cake for a wedding. I'm not just describing it. It's a special thing that we think of when we have a wedding. A wedding cake. I'm wearing blue pants. I'm wearing blue pants. Blue pants. What did I stress? Pants. But I'm wearing blue jeans, do you know what I'm talking about? Blue jeans, maybe Levi's or something like that. Blue jeans, in our mind, has one meaning. It's a specific kind of pants. It's not just the color blue. In fact, sometimes blue jeans are different colors, not just blue. But it has a specific picture in our mind when we say blue jeans. In fact, if you look at the history of blue jeans, you'll see that they used to call them blue jeans. Blue jeans, emphasizing the word jeans, describing it with the color blue. But gradually over time, people didn't really think about the color. They just started thinking about the item, what it was. And that's how the word blue started to become stressed. Blue jeans. We have a big truck. That's a big truck. Big truck. We describe truck with the word big. Truck is emphasized. Truck is stressed. But listen, a semi-truck. A semi-truck. Semi is stressed because a semi-truck has a special meaning, a specific kind of truck. A semi-truck. We can also talk about the girl's friend. Girl's friend. We emphasize friend. We're describing whose friend? That girl's friend. But what happens when we say the girlfriend? Girlfriend. Girlfriend has its own meaning. Of course, we know it's a girl, it's a friend, but together it has a special meaning. Somebody that you fall in love with. A boyfriend has a girlfriend. Let's look at some other compound nouns. Follow me as I say these. We have water going over some falls, and we get waterfalls. Waterfalls. What a beautiful waterfalls. Super plus man, we get Superman. Superman. We don't think of this man as just being super. It's a specific person. Superman. Car keys. Car keys. We're specifically describing the kind of keys. Where are my car keys? Beauty plus salon. Beauty salon. Beauty salon. We get news in the paper and we call it newspaper. Newspaper. Or sometimes we say newspaper with an S sound instead of a Z. Newspaper. We have a rose. It's still a bud before it opens and we call it a rosebud. Rosebud. A red rosebud. An activity book. Activity book. Activity is stronger than book, but book isn't completely weak. Activity book. We stop at the light and we call it a stoplight. Stoplight. A textbook. Textbook is a specific book for students. A textbook. We don't think of it as just any book. It's a specific kind of book. We have a bookcase. Bookcase. And basketball. Basketball. This is a compound noun. We've put basket, which we use to play basketball with, and ball together. We do this with all kinds of sports that have ball in it. We also say baseball, football, volleyball. Next we have wishing well. Wishing well. Have you ever gone to the wishing well to make a wish? Maybe throw a coin into the well and make a wish? A wishing well. A paper clip. A paper clip. The P-E-R on paper is still unstressed, but clip is a little bit lower than pay. Paper clip. Paper clip. Peanut butter. peanut butter. Notice that pea and nut make a compound noun by themselves. Peanut, pea plus nut, peanut, and then butter is a little less stressed. Peanut butter, peanut butter. Blackboard, blackboard. We're not really thinking about the color black. We're thinking about the thing that we write on. It's a blackboard. A mini series, mini series. We watch a mini series on TV. A mini series. A milkshake, milkshake. You can go to McDonald's and get a milkshake, and also French fries, French fries. We go to high school when we're teenagers. High school. We don't think of it as a school that's high. We think of it as one thing, a high school. The same thing with middle school, high school. A water bottle, water bottle. Notice how the T in both of these words is softened. A water bottle. A cell phone. Cell phone. Dog food. Dog food. You've got to be careful with this one. If you say dog food, which we don't usually say, by the way, but if you said dog food, you may be talking about eating a dog. Dog food. So make sure you stress dog food. Midnight. In the middle of the night, we call it midnight. And by the way, midnight means 12 exactly. It doesn't mean 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. Midnight is 12 o'clock at night. Midnight. Grandfather. My grandfather. I don't really think of my father who's grand. I think of my grandfather who is my mother or father's father. It has one specific meaning. If I did say my grandfather, I would be saying my own father is really great. A fishing pole. A fishing pole. Fishing pole. Pole has a little bit less stress than fishing. Fishing pole. Grab your fishing pole and let's go fishing. The swimming pool. Swimming pool. We go swimming in the swimming pool. Okay, there are thousands and thousands of compound nouns. These are just an example of some compound nouns. Of course, when we talk about descriptive phrases, there are literally millions and millions of possible combinations of describing nouns with adjectives. But with compound nouns, you can listen and hear them everywhere. And it'll give you a really good insight into the culture, because when you hear something that's a compound noun, you know that the native English speaker is not thinking of it as something that's described, something that's a specific color or specific length. They're thinking of it as one idea. So your job is to go out and start listening and thinking of words that are compound nouns and descriptive phrases. Start making lists, put them down, add them to the wiki pages. Go out and listen, listen, listen. You're going to be very surprised to find out how many words are actually compound nouns. And just remember, the stress on a compound noun comes where? That's right, on the first word. And the stress in a descriptive phrase comes on the noun. Let's take a look at a few sentences and look at the underlined words. Think for a minute. Are these descriptive phrases or are they compound nouns? I have to tell you, in some cases you may not know, because in some cases it's cultural. You would have to have a pretty good idea of the language already or what people are thinking already. But you may be able to guess this. Take a look at the first sentence. You see two sets of words that are underlined. Are these compound nouns or descriptive phrases? Listen. A cool breeze washed over the bright ocean. A cool breeze washed over the bright ocean. A cool breeze Is this a compound noun or a descriptive phrase? A cool breeze. It's a descriptive phrase. I emphasize the word breeze. A cool breeze washed over the bright ocean. Bright ocean. Bright ocean. What am I emphasizing? That's right. Ocean. The bright ocean. So we have another descriptive phrase. Try this out. A cool breeze washed over the bright ocean. A cool breeze washed over the bright ocean. Take a look at the next sentence. You see three words or sets of words that are underlined. Are these descriptive phrases or compound nouns? Look at the word sunset. Sunset. Sunset is a compound noun. We stress the word sun. Orange sky. Orange sky. This doesn't have one meaning in our minds. I'm simply describing the color of the sky, and the color is orange. Orange sky. I emphasize the word sky. It's a descriptive phrase. And pink clouds. Pink clouds. I emphasize the word clouds. I describe it with the adjective pink. Take a look at the third sentence. We've got two sets of words underlined. Are these descriptive phrases or compound nouns? Listen to the sentence. Beautiful birds sat on the power line. Beautiful birds sat on the power line. Beautiful birds. Beautiful birds. What do you hear that has more stress? Birds. We're describing what kind of birds. They're beautiful. Beautiful birds. Power line. Power line. The power line is the line that carries the electricity up in the sky. The power line is a compound noun. I stress the word power. I show that it has one idea, the power line. Beautiful birds sat on the power line. Beautiful birds sat on the power line. Go back through and practice all of the descriptive phrases in this lesson and the compound nouns in this lesson. Make sure that you have a good feeling about where you should stress, because stress is very important in English. The stress can change the meaning of the sentence. Just like I said, I live in the White House. You know that's not true. I don't live in the White House because I'm not the president and I don't work for the president. I don't live in the White House, but maybe I live in the White House on the corner of the street. Changing the stress changes the meaning of the word. So practice this, listen to this, listen to people around you, and see if you can hear the subtle little differences between the stress. One word is higher than the other, and that difference is going to make a difference in the way your listener understands you, whether or not he knows exactly what you're talking about or not. And in a lot of cases, it may help your understanding when you're listening to the native English speaker and trying to understand what he or she is trying to say. So listen well, practice well. There is a very big distinction between describing a noun and putting two words together to make a new meaning or a new noun or a compound noun. So keep practicing this and send in your feedback, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks. Bye-bye.